Good evening and welcome to Q95's Prime Evening News Roundup for today, Monday, May 11th, 2015. I am Marilyn Isles. We do apologise for the late start of this evening's news broadcast. In headlines this evening, Salisbury protest escalates. ECCB extending banking regulations. Credit unions in ECCU will not be regulated. Greece 2 weeks from cash crisis. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. The details of these stories and more coming up.
Your sweet retreat with bed frames, bedroom furniture, and mattresses from Quartz. Shop today and get free gifts with the purchase of mattresses. Plus, enjoy huge savings on bedroom combos and mattresses. And pay absolutely nothing for 60 days when you shop with Quartz Ready Finance. You can support a charitable organization with your purchase. We will donate a percentage of each bedding sale to a worthy cause. So the ultimate retreat can be yours with the best in bedroom furniture and mattresses. Only at Quartz. Bringing value home.
And welcome back to this evening's news. UWP Senator Dr. Thompson Fountain says he is appealing to the Chief of Police to call off his attack dogs as he is shocked and disappointed at the approach being taken by the Dominica Police Force in the handling of the Salisbury protest. Dr. Fountain says for what began as a peaceful protest against the condition of farm access roads by residents of the Salisbury community, the presence of armed police officers will simply serve to agitate the protesters. He says what is needed is dialogue to find an acceptable solution to the problems the residents are highlighting, as this approach by government will only backfire. Dr. Fountain says he is hopeful that cooler heads will prevail.
But the approach that this government is employing can only backfire, and I hope that cooler heads will prevail. I hope that the Commissioner of Police, I want to appeal directly to the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Carbon, to pull back his attack dogs. That is not going to help anybody. That's not going to tone down the situation. Why are police officers armed in the midst of peaceful protesters? You are simply escalating a situation which does not have to be escalated. So it's very important that the police officers are pulled back, that the guns disappear. They should not have those guns on show. To begin with, that should be a regular police matter. There's no reason that the very first piece of action that you take is to call in men with guns. That is simply escalating a situation which can easily get out of hand. You saw the level of protest in Baltimore. That's happening just 15 minutes away from where I am. And you saw the police behave in a professional manner. That is what you need for the police. I'm seeing men with guns walking up and down in the crowd, out of hand. The guys don't even have a line, you know, working together. But it is clear that there are a few policemen there who want to agitate the crowd and do something. And I'm saying that they're obviously, we are taking note, we are recording the action of these police officers, and people will be held accountable. We cannot allow this to happen in our country, where people cannot stand up and protest. And I would like to make an appeal to the Dominicans who are in Dominica. Wherever you are, go down to Salisbury in support of the people of Salisbury.
UWP Senator Dr. Thompson Fountain. However, despite calls from both Senator Thompson Fountain and Police PRO ASP Claude Weeks for an amicable end to protest action at Salisbury, the situation took a turn for the worst when police used full force to break down barricades set up by the protesters. Residents of Salisbury took to the streets at 2:30 a.m. in protest action for feeder roads in their constituency, setting up roadblocks across the main highway connecting Roseau and Portsmouth. This morning, Salisbury MP Hector John said they would not relent unless some government officials address the situation. While no government official has made an attempt to address the protesters, the situation escalated when police dressed in military fatigue broke tear gas on the crowd in a bid to clear protesters off the streets. Journalist Carlisle John Baptiste has described the situation as extremely dangerous.
People are heading up now because they are suffocating. It is not nice down in Salisbury. It is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. The police are sending tear gas left, right, and center with absolutely no regard for nobody. And this just, I'm hearing talk about someone being injured. I don't want to repeat that. Well, I'm hearing some talk. I don't even want to say that. That's someone may have suffocated. I cannot say that. I don't want to repeat that. That is what someone is saying. But I can tell you what I just saw with my own two eyes, where an elderly lady was being escorted on a vehicle, 6905, racing up, and she was being assisted. There's no medical attention right now in the community. Everybody fighting for their own lives. People are basically trying to seek cover, but the people in all of that are not backing down. They remain resolute in the cause, fighting for, I imagine, a cause.
Journalist Carlisle John Baptiste reporting live there from Salisbury. Q95 News will, of course, continue to monitor the situation and bring live broadcasts as they become available. In more news this evening, Dominica will join the International Council of Nurses in observance of International Nurses Day 2015 on Tuesday, May 12th, under the theme Nurses, a Force for Change, Care Effective, Cost Effective, Improving Health and Well-being. The day is geared at celebrating the birth anniversary of the modern nursing founder Florence Nightingale and focuses on increasing the public awareness about nursing and nurses' contribution towards the health care innovation. In Dominica, a church service at the Goodwill Christian Union Church today will start the activities to observe the day, followed by a public speaking competition at the Ministry of Health conference room on May 12, 2015 from 2 p.m. And although persons above age 60 and below age 18 years of age are not required to pay for medical services at the Princess Margaret Hospital, the Ministry of Health is on a drive to recover thousands of dollars owed to the island's main hospital. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Health, Helen Royer, says while persons will not be denied care because of their inability to meet healthcare costs, those able to meet costs will be required to pay up. She told media personnel recently that her ministry has assigned a social worker to the PMH to properly assess patients requesting waivers and has also introduced a program to obtain payments from those owing.
Considering the challenges of meeting healthcare costs, we have to look into assessing proper assessment of the patients. Actually, presently, we have a social worker assigned to the hospital that assists in reviewing persons, whereas before, everybody could just come in and say that they cannot pay. We know that some persons cannot pay and the government always waives for those who cannot pay. But one of the initiatives we are trying to do is to work with the persons that owe us money to set up maybe an agreement. You may not be able to pay everything. So we have to relook at the fact of just waiving. I mean, there are persons that government will just ask to waive because of their social economic status, and that is all right, but we know that some persons who are able to maybe pay us, maybe through their insurance company. So what we have done from the Ministry of Health standpoint, we have actually engaged the insurance persons and they are working with us. So it's not something that we're going to deny persons. We must be cognizant of the fact that nobody will be denied care because they cannot pay. But we will engage them as to those who may be able to pay. Maybe if your bill is $1,000, you can pay $100, $50 every month. Because the fact remains that we have new machines, but they come at a cost.
One of the things that
Permanent Secretary for the Ministry of Health, Helen Royer. Meanwhile, Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru says healthcare financing remains high on his agenda to achieve during his tenure.
One of the things that I have that I've started out and I really want, I'm not sure how long I'm going to remain in politics. I want to maybe live as one of my achievements as a minister is the whole issue of healthcare financing. And it's something that is on the top and table. I mean, even in developed and first world countries, the whole issue of striking the balance between the sustainability of health services and also cognizant of the fact that there will be sectors of our society, who needs the healthcare. Okay, but they cannot pay up front. Okay, we'll see examples of what happened maybe in places like the U.S. I mean, some of us live to go to the U.S. If you don't show money or insurance policy up front, I mean, emergency or not, you can't be denied healthcare. So as a small, developing state, I mean, we're really not doing too bad. And this is one of the things that I really want people to appreciate, that while there are the challenges, that we're not doing too bad. But people need to understand that it has to be something that is sustainable.
Sometimes.
Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Daru. And in more news, taking the botanical gardens away from the people of Dominica and giving it to a private firm to construct any kind of development could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. These are the words uttered by environmentalist and former government minister Atherton Martin, who made this statement amid speculations that the government may permit an outside developer to transform the botanical gardens into a golf course. Martin says any major shifts to a cabinet-approved plan and strategy for the protection and development of certain areas of the country would warrant a full explanation and proper consultation with the relevant stakeholders. He says this action on the side of the government could be what leads to the overthrow of the Dominica Labour Party government administration.
Sometimes, you know what, you know that saying, it takes a straw to break a camel's back. This could very well be the thing that could cause the overthrow of the government of Dominica. I say it again, because I know people will be saying Afimate is calling for the overthrow of the government. I say this action to take the botanical gardens away from the people of Dominica and give it to a private firm to develop into a private golf course. How many of you play golf? Do you play golf, sir? And I would urge the people in lands and surveys, the people in forestry, the people in physical planning, the people in tourism, urgently get together, and I'm talking about the officials now. Now, I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about the officials in all these agencies need to get together and wise up whoever is considering such a plan in their own interests. It is not going to serve Dominica's tourism well. It's not going to serve Dominica's image as a culturally and ecologically unique destination well. It is not going to serve Dominica's governance track record well.
Environmentalist and former government minister Atherton Martin. And the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank, ECCB, Sir Dwight Venner, in an address broadcast across the region on Thursday, articulated the central bank's proposals for increasing regulation of the sub-regional banking sector. Venner said the banking sector in the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union, ECCU, is at a critical point in its development and a consortium is being established. The central bank governor explained that the full protection of depositors was critical, as deposits, particularly savings, are of a critical importance to the financial system, and banks in the region are the main vehicles for lending. However, credit unions that operate within the ECCU will not be affected by the new banking bill, which is being passed in ECCB member countries. The ECCB Monetary Council, at its 81st meeting held on 24 February 2015, agreed the passage of a new banking bill in the 8 ECCB member countries. The implementation of the proposed banking bill was viewed as an urgent requirement to address the issues affecting the ECCU banking sector and to maintain the integrity and stability of the system. The bill also provides for greater protection of depositors. And Greece's finance minister says his country's financial situation is terribly urgent and the crisis could come to a head in a couple of weeks. Yanis Varoufakis gave the warning after Eurozone finance ministers met in Brussels to discuss the final 7.2 billion euro tranche of Greece's 240 million euro EU IMF bailout. Ministers said Greece may have made progress, but more work was needed. The Greek government is struggling to meet its payment obligations. Earlier, Greece began the transfer of 750 million euros in debt interest to the International Monetary Fund a day ahead of a payment deadline. Greece has until the end of June to reach a reform deal with its international creditors. Its finances are running so low that it has had to ask public bodies for help. And this has been the evening's Prime News Roundup, but first, a recap of our headlines. And making our headlines this evening, the Salisbury protest escalates. ECCB extending banking regulations. Credit unions in ECCU will not be regulated. And Greece 2 weeks from cash crisis. Once again, the news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. But if you missed any of our news packages, do log on to our website, www.q95da.com, to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the Q95 news team, I am Marilyn Niles, wishing you a very pleasant evening.